Inconceivable, a game of nerdery and nonsense, trivia and tribulations. Now let's join our panelists and your host, Dan Morin.
Thank you, Kat Benish. Welcome to Inconceivable, a game that tests two teams' knowledge of the nerdy, useless, and obscure. To my right is Team One, Bodaciously Boss, it's Brian Hamilton.
Hey, y'all, I'm so happy to be here. Hi, Kat.
Killingly Kind, it's Kelly Gamont.
I'm so glad to be here.
And Mightily Magnificent, it's the one and only Micah Sargent.
Howdy dowdy.
Who will captain on this occasion?
I don't know why I was nominated. Yeah, thank you, Micah, for that one.
It will be Brian, yes.
Congratulations, Brian. You have become the captain. You are the captain now.
Captain, my captain.
What is my stipend?
Zero.
The people's ovation and glory forever.
What? Yes, what Kelly said.
To my left is Team 2, gregariously great Glenn Fleischman.
You have what? Oh, sorry, I was on reverse. Hey, how's it going?
Stupendously swell Shelley Brisbane.
Oh, hi. I didn't see you all there.
And jazzily jocose, Jason Snell.
You know, Dan, it's called the Terminator.
We're going to just pretend that didn't happen.
Deep cut.
Who will be your captain on this occasion?
I will be captaining.
Shelley is
short, strong, and all that.
All right. Correct answers are worth 10 points, with partial credit decided by me and our scorekeeper for today, Kat. Round one is one of our games of One of These Things, which I'm calling Knowing is Like Making Answers. Sure. I'm going to give you a list of items. You're going to find the one that doesn't fit. You get 5 points for finding the correct item and 5 for the reason why it doesn't fit. So as an example, if I gave you the words bank, social, religious, and national, the odd man out in this particular would be social, because there are bank holidays, religious holidays, and national holidays, but there are not social holidays as far as I'm aware. We're going to start with you, Brian.
All right.
Jack Ryan, Doug Ross, Gregory House, and Beetlejuice.
My first guess is people that have a TV show, Jack Ryan, Gregory House, Beetlejuice, because there's an animated series, and I don't know who that second person is. I will open the floor to my team.
Was that Greg Ryan?
Doug Ross.
Who was the second person?
The second one.
Doug Ross. Okay.
Hi, I'm Doug Ross, and I'd obviously like to welcome you to my Bojoy painting.
Yeah, I was going to say, definitely a sibling of Bob.
No, you guys, Doug Ross is George Clooney on ER.
Oh. So doctors. I think Beetlejuice is technically a doctor of Satanism or something. So yeah. Dr. Gregory House, Dr. George Clooney ER, Dr. Beetlejuice. That means Jack Ryan, as far as I know, is not a doctor.
Yeah, I don't
is
remember being
true?
A doctor. Jack Ryan, doctor of murder? I don't... I think we could probably...
Doctor of getting people off of planes?
Yeah, let's... I like it. I like it, Brian. I think you got it.
Let's lock it in. Jack Ryan is not a doctor, Dan Morin.
Jack Ryan... Actually, technically has a PhD, so he is a doctor.
In economics.
No!
That is not what I was looking for. I'm sorry. For 0 points at all, Team 2, does anybody over there know what the odd man out is?
Well, I mean, Beetlejuice is the only one who's not a like a non-supernatural being.
Okay, great, yeah.
But Beetlejuice is too easy of a standout.
I know,
right, that's right. That's why I'm looking for something else, but haven't come in. I had never heard of Doug Ross until moments ago, so I assume they're right about that.
Oh, yeah, it's George Clooney.
Is one of them not a jerk? Is that the...
No, they're all jerks.
Okay, all jerks.
Is all of them about one on Vicodin?
Yeah.
On drugs except for...
Yeah, the key for this one was to actually think about people who had played these characters.
Sure.
Is this a Batman thing?
Batman accepts.
Many Jack Ryans.
Batman.
Yes, Batman was the correct answer.
Oh, Batman.
Where's Tony except when you need him?
George Clooney.
Yep.
And
Michael Keaton.
John Krasinski.
Not John Krasinski. There are multiple people who have played Jack Ryan.
Oh, who's the Batman person who played Jack Ryan?
Harrison Ford?
Nope, you're looking for Ben Affleck played Jack
Ben
Ryan.
Ben Affleck.
Oh, Ben Affleck play Jack Ryan?
Some
that's crazy.
Some of all fears.
It
was thousands.
Oh, my God.
It's not a good one.
Are they all playing the same Jack
to
Ryan?
A great start.
Yeah, and of course, Beetlejuice is Michael Keaton, so Batman.
Batman.
All right, we're going to go to Team 2, Glenn.
Hey, Hugh Laurie was Batman in... No,
that's pretty bad. No, sorry. He's got the gravity
voice. So the
voice.
Answer was Hugh Laurie's the odd one out because he has never played
it was
Batman.
Yet. Batman yes. Okay. Yes. Of Laurie and Fry. Ryan Laurie. Yes,
all
sir.
Right. Dark, white, Ted, and light.
Dark, white, Ted, light. Wow, that's a very interesting set of things. Dark, Light, Ted White. Team, I'm going to need a little bit of help here, I think. Possibly. We just did a Batman round, so I can't believe it's like Dark Knight. And also, I don't think there's... Ted Knight, right. Hold on a second.
White Knight.
So Light is the odd one out. Is that right? Did we figure this out already?
I think so.
I'm going to ring the bell. You got there.
Yay!
Well, there's no Ted Knight. Wait.
Not anymore, but he did exist.
Ted Knight? That would be ridiculous.
It's a real good night situation over there.
Yeah. All right. That was weird. That was very weird.
All right. We'll go back to team one. Kelly?
Yes.
These are a little long, so stick with me. Richard of York gave battle in vain. Have no fear of ice cold beer. Serving drams can improve whiskey casks. And empty garbage before daddy flips.
Oh, I know that one. They are rhymes that you say for to remember a thing.
Wait, but that last one isn't a rhyme. Are there mnemonics?
Like
a
mnemonics, yeah.
Mnemonics is the word I'm looking for. Yeah, yeah. Before I go full Liz on this. That's what they are, and one of them's fake.
Do we know what they're for, though? Before daddy flips.
That's a scale, like BDF. A piano. Yeah, BDF, piano scale.
Piano scale. Got it.
Yeah.
Can you repeat them, Dan?
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. That's my next question.
I'm trying to write them down.
Richard of York gave battle in vain.
Okay, that's the rainbow.
Have no fear of ice cold beer. Serving drams can improve whiskey casks. And empty garbage before daddy flips.
Okay, so we know the first one and the last one. First one's Roy G. Biv, last one's piano scale. Have no fear of ice cold beer, and then serving drams can improve whiskey casks.
S-D-C-I.
S-D-C-I-W-C. And then H-N-F. I'm feeling like it's the one that rhymes. I'm not saying that because it rhymes, it's the odd one out. I'm saying because it rhymes and the other three don't. It's feeling like that could be the fake mnemonic, but I don't want to lock in on that unless we can figure out serving drams can improve whiskey casks. What would those letters be?
S D C
salt Dracula.
Oh yeah, salt Dracula.
finish that one. Finish that one. Keep going. Salt Dracula. Yes,
you're onto it.
Yeah.
Batman. Oh, that was a joke.
yes.
H N F. Have no fear of ice cold beer.
I C F H H.
And there's the other thing too is that sometimes of doesn't matter in a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. H-N-F-I-C-F.
So it could be H N F I C F I C B. Right.
C B.
Ice cold beer.
That I feel like I've heard that one though.
Okay.
I know it rhymes, but I feel like it it's like way out there on the edge. So I don't think it's that one. Sadly, I think it's the drams.
The drams is the one I have like zero context for.
I can't SDC. Yeah. Let's do it.
I say we lock it in.
I'm going with serving drams. Locking in serving drams.
I'm going to give you 10 points. Those are indeed mnemonic devices. You identified the correct odd man out. Have no fear of ice cold beer. Anybody else know what that is?
Have no fear of ice cold beer. What I was looking, one of these would be kingdom, phylum, and so forth, but I do not think any of
this. This is not.
But it's
this
a
is
science thing.
It is
though.
Science. Mm-hmm. It's diatomic molecules: hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, fluorine, bromine, and iodine.
Nice.
Right. Often used.
Oh, good old iodine.
Iodine. Don't forget iodine.
Salt Dracula.
Serving. I will say, technically, serving drams can improve whiskey casks is a great mnemonic that I came up with for remembering strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, whiskey and charisma.
Whiskey.
whiskey is the most important stat in D&D.
I was going to say, if I knew there was whiskey, I might return to D&D.
I have a whiskey drink.
I'm so glad that I didn't think of those.
All right, well done.
I have an ice cold drink.
Shelley, we'll go over to you. Woo-hoo. Siena, Calcutta, Versailles, and Hippo.
Siena, Calcutta, Versailles, and Hippo.
You said it so lyrically, by the way, it made me think that there should have been a Beach Boys. Siena, Calcutta, Versailles, and Hippo. All right, got to pay some royalties now.
I was going to say, my first blush, and Glenn will tell me immediately if I'm wrong. So this is for the team. This is not the answer. Fonts, and Hippo would be the odd one out.
I don't recognize those fonts.
I think it's not Siena.
It's cities or places with bishops or with palaces or with
I was thinking
Archdukes
colors, but that's not right. So Siena
I started with colors,
Siena,
and it's like I don't think.
No, I've been to Versailles and I've been near Siena. Not
I'm
in
trying
Siena,
to work out Hippo,
but I've never been to Calcutta or Hippo, so I can't tell you. Hippo is in
or Shrines.
Do they start with the same thing, like verse, calc, hip, C? Is no. like it a?
I think that was the last one, Glenn.
not mnemonics, but words that start with things. Maybe I'm doing too much connections lately.
Siena, Calcutta, Versailles.
Siena. Numbers. Mm-hmm.
Numbers. Siena.
Hippo,
color.
Duplicated letters. Colors, all duplicated right. letters. Oh. Double N, double T, double L, double P.
Did you say Hippo's a city, Glenn? I'm not
pretty
familiar.
Sure Hippo is a city, but I'm trying to remember where it is. Dan, do we get any hints on this round if we ask for them or no?
I mean,
or spelling?
It's up to me. I can give you spelling, no
oh,
problem.
Yeah. How is Hippo spelled?
Hippo, just like
okay.
it sounds.
Well, there you all go. The rest just like it sounds.
Yeah, Siena, Siena, Calcutta.
Oh, Siena.
Yep.
Oh, that is how it's spelled.
Yeah, I got the Beach Boys in my head.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. I will say Jason, I think, was on the closest track so far.
Yeah.
It's oh,
got,
I see. Well, there's
it's got a shrine or an archduke or an archbishop or
the Palace of Versailles.
Right.
Siena has a was home to a number of great artists, but I can't think of a single defining characteristics. Hippo. So these are, were there conclaves or diets in them or
Hippos
something?
Hippos are in, yeah. So I keep thinking of like the Archbishop of Hippo, which I always thought was like the funniest. It's like the diet of worms,
diet of
right?
worms, yeah, exactly.
Like the bar.
Versailles is where it was the, oh, it was the some the what was Louis XIV called? The
Sun King?
What's that?
No.
The Something King.
Not he the was Sun the, King? He was the...
The Sun King. He was the Sun King. He was the
also,
Sun King.
That's a Beatles song, though.
Here comes the Sun King.
Help us
doesn't
either.
Make it
Here
wrong.
Comes the Sun King.
Glenn, I'm sure someone has said this to you before in your life, but sometimes you know too much.
Yeah.
And it's a real impediment.
Only every day.
It's not great.
Only every day.
Calcutta,
you want to take a shot?
What is Jason's? It was Bishop of?
Yeah,
I like
I
shrines,
feel like,
honestly, but
I feel like Versailles maybe is the odd one out because that's the it's where the palace is.
Oh, maybe everywhere else is a place people go to bathe in a river or something like that, or they go for a shrine or for curing.
Mm. Yeah,
oh,
something like
pilgrimage.
That.
Pilgrimage. That's it.
Wanna
and
try
not
that?
Versailles. Yeah, and
all
not
right.
Versailles.
Well, all right. We'll try pilgrimage, Versailles being the odd one out.
Well, Versailles is the odd one out. That's correct. I'm debating giving them
that's
maybe one or two points for the other part. My scorekeeper's giving me a suspect look. I mean, Shrine, I think you're in the right. You're very close with Shrine.
Yeah, but like I would give them potentially one. But Calcutta, right? That's although it has a different name now. Calcutta is the famous birthplace of someone.
That they're all associated with a specific type of person, which is why Bishop
oh,
is
oh, Saint, like St. Augustine.
They're all saints, correct.
Yeah.
Catherine of Siena, Teresa of Calcutta, and Augustine.
St. Augustine of Hippo.
Correct.
We'll give him 2 points. Well, so two
know,
plus seven, seven,
seven. 7 points for you. That's still
okay,
pretty good.
Okay, we'll
I don't
it.
Think I knew too much. I think I knew too little. I think Jason knew just
well,
the right amount.
Yeah, Jason was pretty close with the shrines and the bishops. You're just
yeah.
circling
yeah.
that a little
yeah.
bit.
The shrines and the bishops.
That's it. Micah.
That's it.
That's me.
Bobby Drake. Bjorn Borg.
Okay.
William Perry and Richard Kuklinski.
Oh my God. Okay. Bobby Drake, Bjorn Borg. What's the third?
William Perry.
Man. William Perry.
And Richard Kuklinski.
That's if you say so. Okay. That's how I'll spell that. Okay. So Bobby Drake, Bjorn Borg, William Perry. Richard, okay. Bobby is Robert. No, that doesn't work. I was thinking like short names. A Drake, a Borg, a Perry, and a Kuklinski.
Walk into a bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And Borg says you will be assimilated. Got it.
A Bobby and a Bjorn walk into
an IKEA.
A tree that has a cradle falling from it.
You're making your own mnemonics now, Mike. I love it. What do I
say for? I'm a team. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
William Sonoma.
No. Okay. So Bobby Drake is Iceman in the X-Men.
Okay.
If
that's
it's that
good
Bobby
to know.
Drake.
Iceman. Okay.
Some people of a particular vintage may know if this is the right William Perry, that he was called Refrigerator Perry and played for the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
Bjorn Borg played tennis.
Okay.
And the other name I can't remember.
Richard Kuklinski.
Kuklinski.
So what if Bjorn Borg, William Perry, and Richard Kuklinski are the sports people, and then Bobby Drake is not? Because Bobby Drake
Bobby Drake.
Well, it sounds like it's something to do with like coldness or ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played Iceman.
Yeah, well, that's what. But then you said William Perry was like a fridge guy or whatever.
Refrigerator Perry. Yeah.
Yeah. So what if Richard Kuklinski is also some sort of cold as ice sort of person in some way, which would leave Bjorn Borg out, unless you tell me that Bjorn Borg had an ice cold swing or something.
Or like needs to ice his knee because he played tennis or something, or elbow. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Tennis. He's the inventor of tennis elbow.
Just ice all over.
I don't. He sits in a tub of ice, like in a.
Or like Richard Kuklinski played Iceman in Top Gun or something.
Yeah.
Or was like, the name of Top Gun or something like that. It's one of those
are
two,
we feeling
I guess.
Cold is the thing?
Yeah, and I don't remember there ever, I mean, I don't
that could
remember
get us
him
half
that
the
much.
Points.
Yeah, I don't remember Bjorn Borg having any kind of nickname.
I'm down to lock in Bjorn Borg as the odd one now because everyone else has something to do with cold, if you are.
I am so down. Let's say Bjorn Borg is the odd person out, not just because their name is the arguably oddest of the group, and that is because cold, Dan.
Because cold.
Because cold. That is not the correct answer, but you may get some points here. I heard somebody on the other side, I think, had it.
Yeah, I know this one.
Tell us, sports guy.
All of them are nicknamed Iceman except for William the Refrigerator Perry.
Correct.
That's tricky.
Was Dan is tricky. Iceman.
You were very close, Kelly.
Richard Kuklinski was a famous criminal / murderer who was known as the Iceman.
Okay.
The Iceman.
I didn't know they called Bjorn Borg the Iceman.
Yes, they did, indeed. But
maybe because he was Swedish?
Scorekeeper, I'm going to turn
Swedish
this to you.
Swedish guy with long blonde hair. That's all I know about Bjorn Borg.
Don't I want to be frozen out? So we'll give them 3 points.
3 points. Oh, generous scorekeeper today. All right.
Wow.
You.
So generous.
Lex's here with us. I love the puns.
All right, Jason, we're around to you for the final one this round.
All right, Jason.
I hope you've been paying attention because your clues, it's a meta puzzle, Jason. Your clues are all the other answers.
What?
Every single one?
So all the other, if you figure out the themes of all the previous answers. Ones, one of them does not fit, and I need you to tell me why.
Oh,
that's...
All right. Can you go over those with
can
me,
you
please?
Have the answers?
Well, I was given to you. It's easy. The first set was about Batman. The second set, which you correctly figured out, was Knight. Mm-hmm. We had Mnemonic. We had Saints, and we had Iceman.
I got it.
While you're doing that, can I just say, Dan, it wasn't that long ago that you wrote this, so I'm very impressed that you were able to create a meta puzzle from that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I got it, Jason. Tell me when you want me to tell you. Val Kilmer roles. So he played Batman. He was in The Saint. He played Iceman. And I think he has no association with
He is
Knight,
not
correct?
In Johnny Mnemonic. Yeah, what Glenn said, Dan.
That is correct. 10 points. And in fact, he was supposed to play Johnny Mnemonic and ended up getting replaced by Keanu
That's
Reeves.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So yes, these are, and if you go back, this run is called Knowing is Like Making Answers Sure, which if you take all the initials spells Kilmus. You're welcome, everybody, and RIP Val
Merry
Kilmer.
Nice everybody.
Work. That's really sweet.
All right, let's get a score update at the end of round one, shall we?
Sure. So Brian team one has a grand total of 13 points. Woo! Which is
Lucky
slightly
13.
Below one half of Shelley's team at 27.
But things can change on a dime here. We are on to round two, which is the first of our fake-off rounds.
You fake-off.
Thank you, Jason.
No,
in which team one must find the real answer based on their knowledge of the following category. Team one, you can bid between 1 and 10 points. If you get it right, you'll get that number of points. If you get it wrong, you'll lose that number of points.
Your category, I hate bidding.
I know you do. Your category is the extremely specific category of scientific terms.
Speaking of the true daily double. No.
Goodness sakes.
I have no input on the amount of points because I abstain, so it's against my religion.
There's the frustrating thing where you bet low and then get it right. Then there's the really frustrating thing when you bet big and get it wrong. Yeah. That is how wagering works. So
I see you've been to a casino, Brian.
I'm glad you're clear on the concept, Brian.
I would like to take your course, Brian.
I would be game for maybe 6 points, a little bit closer to the more than the less.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That works for me.
6 points it is, Dan.
6 points on the board for team one. All right. You were looking for the definition of Kardashev scale, K-A-R-D-A-S-H-E-V scale. And to tell you some possible definitions for Kardashev scale, let's turn it over to Team 2. Glenn, what is the Kardashev scale?
Oh, hello there.
Hi.
All right. The Kardashev scale, known in Russian as Shkala Kardashyova, is a way that you can measure a civilization's technology level based solely on their use of energy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Based
could be that.
On energy.
Could okay. be something totally different. Shelley, what is the Kardashev scale?
The Kardashev scale, pronounced as Glenn did in Russian, because I'm not even going to try, is used in evaluating the efficiency of solar cells. It is a measure of the proportionality between the intensity of light and photoinducted current.
Okay. Could be some way to measure solar efficiency. Could be a measurement of civilizations by energy use. Could be something totally different. Jason, what is the Kardashev scale?
Kardashev scale, Dan, I'm glad you asked me.
You're welcome.
Is a method of measuring the likelihood that a galaxy hosts advanced civilizations based on the age of the galaxy, the number of planets in the galaxy, how common life is, and the length of time that a civilization will exist.
Okay, so it could be some way to determine how likely alien life is. It could be something about measuring solar energy efficiency, or it could be something about saying how advanced a civilization is, but it is one of those, and Team 1, you must decide which one.
Okay. So, I wonder why Jason's didn't have the Russian pronunciation at the front.
I think that was Glenn's bit that Shelley picked up on.
Kardashev. What's that? It's Glenn. Come on.
Excuse me.
Yeah. See, I'm stuck because I feel like Glenn is the most likely, but it was Glenn, so maybe no. Like, I'm so conflicted.
Yeah. So, first one is measuring a civilization's tech level based on its energy stuff. The second one was evaluating the efficiency of solar cells using math. And then the third one was measuring the likelihood that the galaxy hosts advanced civilizations with like multiple inputs for the formula. I like the third one, but I feel like that is mostly because I am metagaming the lack of Russian pronunciation at the front. But the problem is they could be doing a Trixie. And if they're doing a Trixie, then we're in trouble.
But I know that you know that I know that you know.
Yeah, the two solar-powered energy-based ones feel very close together, which could be a bit of a throw. Like, oh, it means it's one of those, but no, it's actually the third one. Or it could mean, oh, it's actually the third one, but it's actually one of those.
So how are we feeling about the Kardashev scale?
My favorite's the third. Could I ask Jason, could you read your definition again?
Sure. It is a method of measuring the likelihood that a galaxy hosts advanced civilizations based on the age of the galaxy, the number of planets, how common life is, and the length of time a civilization exists. And it's pronounced Kardashev. Does that help?
Yeah, that no.
That really helps.
Now it really throws a wrench into things. Just one more from Glenn. Could you read the part, the end of yours?
You want me to read more in Russian?
Is that we know about measuring the tech level, but what's the last part of it?
It is a way of measuring a civilization's technology level based on their use of energy.
Okay, use of energy. See, that one feels so basic. I don't know.
I'm leaning towards three if y'all are.
Okay, let's do that.
Gally, how
I
you feel?
I can do three. Yeah, I feel like they gave it to Glenn so that we would get way in our heads about it, and it's possible that Glenn is the real one, but if you guys like three, I'm happy to go with three.
Let's go with three.
Locking in three.
All right, they've locked in three, which is Jason's definition. Jason, is that what the Kardashev scale is?
It's pronounced Kardashev, Dan. And no, it's basically the Drake equation. Glenn's is the real one.
Kelly sussed it out, but was overruled.
Yeah, this was in the pregame. I said they're going to suspect it's me because I lie badly. Then they're going to think no, they gave us something to Glenn because they thought he would probably lie. So it's not him, but then it might be him. But it's
classic
probably not
Glenn
him.
Gambit. That's exactly as intended.
I know that you know. Yep.
All right. Well, that was a tough one for you, Team 1. We'll do a score update after the next round, which is round 3. We're entitled
That's how you know it's really good.
Questionable casting call. As good as superhero casting has been, there are some places where maybe a different choice might have been nominatively determined. From the following clues, determine the mashed-up celebrity and superhero. So, for example, if I gave you the clue, this iconic soul performer would have taken this part to the river with the help of some cosmic willpower. That would be Al Green Lantern.
Ah, yes.
Classic mashups, okay. One person, one superhero. Mm-hmm. We're going to start with Glenn.
Okay. Oh, God.
Glenn, having played a superhero's butler in a version of a classic comic antagonist, the only thrill left for him to shoot is as the inaugural hero of a cinematic universe.
Oh, my God.
That was a lot of words.
Do either of you know who played, it must be Alfred, right? He's played the butler and the, is it Michael Caine somehow? No, that doesn't make sense. I need some help, team. Could you read that again? That had a lot of moving parts in it.
Having played a superhero's butler and a version of a classic comic antagonist, the only thrill left for him to shoot is as the inaugural hero of a cinematic universe.
Inaugural hero of a cinematic... What cinematic universes have we had? We've had the Dark Universe. We've had the first Marvel film. Team, help!
Well, who are the...
So
somebody who's been an Alfred and a superhero villain.
Yeah, Michael Caine came to mind immediately, but then I'm like, I know there's like 17 other Alfreds, but I can't think
about 17 Batman.
All Batman. Of which I am ignorant.
Was somebody an antagonist in like an older, like the Batman TV series or an older...
An antagonist. Or could have been later. He could have been first.
Am I wrong? It's a butler. He didn't say Batman.
Could no, it be it's true. Really
what like, other superhero has a butler, though?
Well, Green Hornet has a butler. Kato is a butler.
Oh, that's true.
And there was that... Wasn't it a bad movie with Ben... Not Ben.
Like Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen, and who played...
James Franco, who was also...
Oh!
Green Goblin.
Yes! Okay,
maybe. All right.
So maybe it's James Frank comic something.
Frank? No, my God, no.
The Francoverse. What's the...
James Frankenstein.
James
Franco-Einstein?
James Franco...
In the cinematic universe? I don't know.
I think that must be right. Was that the first entry into the...
Well, they weren't entries into the Dark Universe.
The Kenneth Branagh film, wasn't that the first... Frankenstein was the first Dark Universe?
I don't know.
All right, maybe we should go with that. I'll go with that, if that's right with you, Captain.
Sure.
James Frankenstein, something like that.
I was going to say, I don't know whether it scans, but I don't have a better idea, so.
Okay.
I love it. It's not what I was looking for, but I like it. Does anybody in Team 1 have an idea?
We're struggling.
Wow, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to give you a pity point.
Oh, no, that's zero. That's zero.
Wow. All right, scorekeeper giveth and the scorekeeper taketh away.
We were so clever.
So you were getting there.
Man in the Iron Mask. Can you reveal this?
He did play Alfred. I was looking for Jeremy Irons, man.
I got it.
Oh, yes, it was Brian. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I guess this is where we admit that we have a private Slack talking.
So you did have an idea. You did have an idea. See? All right. Well, let's go over to Team 1. Brian.
Hi.
This character's siren song makes her the ideal role for this person as long as it's Friday.
As long as it's Friday. Siren song. Siren song. Sirens. This character's siren song.
Rebecca Black?
Yeah. Rebecca Black Widow.
Rebecca Black Widow.
It's very close. The character's siren song was what I was going for. So you're going to get some 5 points there for Rebecca Black.
Well, hold on. We got to make sure that the scorekeeper agrees, because last time you said somebody's getting points and then they didn't.
I was actually giving more in there because I thought...
Oh, you're giving more?
Oh, because I think they were almost there. They got both...
Like,
Black Widow was a very easy mistake, you know?
But the character's siren song is linked specifically to that character, which was Rebecca Black Canary.
How would I know that?
You don't need to know that.
How would we know that? It's impossible.
I'm going to override 6 points. 6 points is what I'm saying.
I can be capricious as a scorekeeper.
You can, but I get the ultimate say. My scorekeeper's fighting back.
You told me I got to pick the scores.
Okay.
6.5.
No, there are no points. There are no partial points.
Because why not?
Because
I will know in my heart that we have 0.5 on there.
Standard line, no fraction.
I will treasure that half point forever.
There's an asterisk next to this one.
Yeah, I just fundamentally, my agency has been overruled.
Ooh.
Okay, we're going back to the other
side. How does Lex feel about this?
I'll just remind you, your title is score keeper, not score maker.
Have you ever overruled Lex?
Yeah, I've overruled Lex.
Really?
Sure, all the time.
Back in the history.
All the time. Someone will do a super cut. All right, let's go back to the other side. Shelley, after an eponymous talk show, two eponymous sitcoms, and a part as Renee Zellweger's sister, what's left but for her to portray a mobster's daughter turned vigilante who tracks down criminals for vengeance?
That's just a lot of words.
It's a lot of words.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's isn't it Jennifer Garner as Elektra, or is that a different...
Eponymous talk show.
Right.
The mobster's daughter turned vigilante. Isn't I thought that was Elektra.
I'm back on the talk show and sitcoms. Wait, hang on.
Yeah, there's always two ways.
I mean,
to come
there are few enough women who have had talk shows. We ought to be able to suss that out.
An eponymous talk show,
right?
And two eponymous sitcoms. Eponymous sitcoms.
Two Hard eponymous sitcoms.
Two eponymous sitcoms.
That's a lot of eponymous sitcoms.
Eponymous sitcoms. Who has had, I mean, I'm thinking Bob Newhart is not the answer here. Three eponymous sitcoms.
And he played Renee Zellweger's sister. Very impressive. Yeah,
very impressive.
It's a lot of range, Bob Newhart. I'm trying to think of who has had two eponymous sitcoms. Like, not Ellen, obviously.
Reba McEntire? Ellen.
Betty White.
Portray a mobster's daughter turned vigilante.
Betty White had a talk show?
Did Betty White ever have a talk show? Did she? No, I'm working on that.
No, but Glenn, but that's Glenn. Saying. You're getting it wrong. You're trying to make the person all the things, and it's a link up.
Right.
The person isn't all the things.
Course,
the person leads into the character
but you
name.
Can start. Right. The talk show thing is throwing me because eponymous sitcoms could be Betty White. It could be Reba McEntire.
No, it's not. Betty White never had a sitcom named for her. These are eponymous sitcoms.
Actually, she did.
She did. She had the Betty White show twice.
Yes, she did.
And well, Betty?
Had, oh my gosh. I know at least one was the Betty White show. I don't know if there was a second, but I was starting somewhere. All right, now
where
as far as talk
was
shows.
Renee Zellweger, is that Bridget Jones' Diary? Maybe where she
it
was
could
the
also
sister?
Be the
Betty White was not sister, Bridget Jones.
I bet it's not Bridget Jones. Bridget Jones' Diary. I feel like that is also hard to say, but it is also seems like a misdirect.
Not Roseanne Barr. Oh, wait a minute.
No,
hold
is
on.
It? Hang on.
Did Roseanne Barr have... Did she have two sitcoms with her name? She had Roseanne, but not the... she didn't have another one. She didn't have a talk show.
She had a talk show. She had a daytime talk show.
Oh, she did have a daytime talk show. Did she have two
I don't know if she
sitcoms?
Had two sitcoms. But where would that take us? If we said Roseanne...
I think she only had one.
Where that may be right, but where would
Roseanne
that take
us? Barr the other Electra. Half. Roseanne Barr... I'm sorry. What's
that doesn't sound right.
Who else is a mobster's...
Oh, mobsters.
Daughter turned vigilante. There are a few of those, but tax on criminals for vengeance. Two eponymous sitcoms. That's really getting me. I can't think of anybody besides Bob Newhart who's had two in different eras.
In this category, do you have a very specific thing of what kind we're matching? Are we matching comic books or...
They're all superhero
themed. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're all from comic/superhero movies or TV shows or, you know, established, well known superhero figures.
Well known to many.
Yeah. I'm not getting fair. I'm not getting the sitcoms one because we're a bit
I know. And I feel like that's my half of the equation and I'm not getting them either.
Arnold.
Who's, oh, wait. Hank. Okay. I was thinking talk show and sitcom I can get, but I can't get a second one. Like, Marie Osmond had both. She had she didn't have a sitcom. Never mind. She had a variety show. Roseanne.
It's also be of
Joan
an
Rivers
age,
did not have a sitcom.
Of an age where you'd be Renee Zellweger's sister in a movie.
Though. Right,
no,
right,
she never
right. That's
played
good.
That role. No, Roseanne never played that
no,
role.
No, no.
So that can't be it. But I was thinking Roseanne.
Ellen
Arnold,
is closer.
Ellen only had one
right,
sitcom,
that's,
I think
it's possible she... Okay.
Electra, that is
if only it was Carmen Electra. That would be really
Carmen
easy.
Electra. That would be good. Is there, Jason, am I wrong? Is there another person who fits the second half that we could?
I'm I my brain is mush now.
I'm thinking, is there somebody, is there a celebrity like, say, Tom Selectra, right? Is there somebody whose name ends with Eck?
Yeah, morning, I think you guys, you've gotten a little off course and stuck in a cul-de-sac, right there. So yeah, I'm going to ask. Please stop. No, I think we're going to need some sort of guess.
Words are hard.
Should we put Electra as part of our guest?
Yeah, so I think so. Roseanne Barr-Electra as close as.
There we go. Thank you.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but.
Team One, anybody over there know this?
We had something.
No.
We had something.
Go with it. What are we going to do? Lose points? No.
No, you can't lose points.
Electra DeGeneres?
Everybody went to Electra, not who I was looking for. And, you know, a shame that she is not better remembered for all of these things, but she did play Renee Zellweger's sister famously in Jerry Maguire. Bonnie Hunt had two sitcoms. One called Bonnie and one called Life with Bonnie. And she had a show called The Bonnie Hunt Show that was a talk show.
Wow.
And I was looking for Bonnie Huntress.
Huntress. Yeah. Oh, that's stupid on my part. Okay. I couldn't remember that. Wrong comic thing.
But you're right. Not a lot of women who have multiple sitcoms with their names in it and a talk show. It's quite an accomplishment.
That's pretty good.
All right.
That was 1 point. That felt like pity. That just felt like pity.
You giving them a point?
Well, okay. So here's a question. Yours makes no sense. Why did you want to give them a pity point for Jeremy Irons Man? You wanted to give them a pity point for not getting it.
Because I liked the joke. It's just arbitrary, Kat. The points are sacrosanct.
I'm giving you 1 point.
Okay. Scorekeeper has decided to give you a point.
Going rogue.
Thank you, scorekeeper.
We love our scorekeeper.
We do love our scorekeeper. Yes. Thank you, Kelly.
Well, you're lucky. There was a whole bunch of Brandon Sanderson clues that Dan did not let me include in this game.
Oh, you are all been winning the heck out of it.
All right, Kelly, we're over to you. Totally bogus that this excellent actor turned director didn't get a chance to play a brainwashed villain turned hero.
Okay, guys, I just need help with the brainwashed villain because it's Alex Winters.
I didn't process a single word of that.
Alex Winters' shoulder. How's that sound, Kelly? Yeah,
I know it's Alex Winters. Who's the
Winter Soldier?
Winter Soldier. Okay, yeah, Alex Winter Soldier. That's what
I'm saying. There you go. 10 points.
Good job.
Nice.
And he's so good as a director, of course I know.
Well done.
And as a protest organizer, as it turns out.
That too.
And as Waiting for Godot guy.
All right. Oh. We'll go back.
Bill contains multitudes.
Team two, Jason. Yes. The only way to outperform three competing personalities is with a self-destructive drum solo.
Oh, it's Keith Moon Knight.
Keith Moon Knight.
Should
have put these one up top.
Oh my
apparently.
God.
That was fantastic.
And finally, Micah, some might argue the current casting can't be topped, but I say slap an eye patch on this queen of rock and roll and let her go her own way.
Okay, slap an eye patch on this queen. Who's the queen of rock and roll?
And let her go her own way. Go Your Own Way is Fleetwood Mac song.
It's Fleetwood Mac, yeah.
Stevie Nicks.
So that would be Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks. And then what was the first part?
Slap an eye patch.
No, even before
current
that.
Current casting's great.
Yeah, what is all that part about casting?
Current casting.
Some might argue the current casting can't be topped. So where's the superhero?
Someone with an eye patch. Something about topping? Yeah. I don't know.
That's another podcast.
Oh, wait.
Brian.
What's the guy that's the Marvel guy that is played by Samuel L. Jackson?
Nick Fury.
Okay.
Stevie Nick Fury?
Eye
patch. Steven, yes.
Yes.
You got it.
Stevie Nick Fury.
Go your own way.
All right. That round, a mixed bag, but let's see how it affected the scores. Kat, where are we at?
All right, it has gotten much closer with Team 1 at 33 points, just 5 points behind Team 2, Shelley's team, at 38 points.
All right.
And you did reject my previous score for that. Our clue was going to be Goose Rings Like a Bell at Night once you learn to love him.
Goose Rings Like a Bell at Night.
Let it go. All right, we are on to round 4, the second of our fake-off rounds. Fake-off, the final reckoning. This is Team 2's chance to bid for points. Based on their knowledge of the following category, once again, you get the number of points, you get it right. You get to lose that number of points, you get it wrong. Your extremely specific category, Team 2, is religious terms.
Oh. I mean, should we be lame and do like 1 point because we're in the lead, or is
I mean, it's either that or we do five because we're up by five, and it'll either put us 10 or tied.
Let's do five. So we should make it interesting. We'll do five.
We'll do five.
All right. They've bid 5 points. Team two, your term is karass, K-A-R-A-S-S. And to tell you what a karass might be, let's turn over team one. Brian Hamilton, what is karass?
Karass are mercenary soldiers employed by the church and commanded by justices who wear a set of silver scales around their neck as a sign of rank.
Oh, okay. It could be some sort of soldiers. It could be something else. Kelly, what is karass?
Karass is a term that is used in a religion to mean a group of people linked in a cosmically significant manner.
Okay. Could be a group of people. Could be those soldiers. Could be something else entirely. Micah, what is karass?
A karass is, of course, a ceremonial basin used in purification rituals, typically filled with consecrated oil and placed at the entrance of a temple.
Oh, okay. It could be a ceremonial basin. It could be a group of people who are linked in some way, or it could be those soldiers. It's one of those. Team two, which one is it?
I think this is from Ursula K. Le Guin's universe.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right? Yeah. And I don't think it's a ceremonial basin. I think it's a group of people.
Group of people cosmically linked. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I'll go with you two because my instinct.
Stretch this out, but I think that's it.
My instinct was the basin, but if you're telling me it's from a universe I'm unfamiliar with,
my recollection is this is from the one where they march over endless left hand of darkness.
Left hand of darkness. Yeah, it could be.
Karass.
It rings a bell. I know that I've read this.
Yeah.
Or seen it or whatever, but I think I've read it. And I had a small list of things it was probably from, and that's the one that sounds familiar. So I don't think we should dither.
We'll go with the group of people on your say so.
We've got other places to be. This show can't go on forever. Dan, it's a group of cosmically linked people.
All right. They say a karass is a group of cosmically linked people. Kelly, that was your definition. Is that correct?
It is.
Ah, you are cosmically linked. It is not from Ursula K. Le Guin, though. Fortunately, it's not Vonnegut.
You're only half right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Vonnegut?
Yes. Cat's Cradle.
It is. Cat's
Cradle. Yeah. Right.
Well done. Vonnegut. Well done.
That's funny. The two of those are not, those authors are not related.
I was going to say, it was either Le Guin. I actually thought, is this Le Guin or is this Vonnegut? But it was very familiar. So.
Yeah, because he's got all of his terms.
Boconism. Boconism.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know how to pronounce that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that increased Team 2's lead a bit going into our final round, round five, a game entitled, Who's Got Two Thumbs and They're Both Down? For 10 points, identify the following well-known movie from its half-star letterboxed review. For 5 points off, I will also give you the year. So, for example, if I gave you the half-star letterboxed review, I like the part where the Nazis explode, but that's literally it.
It's Raiders
you would not
Lost
probably
Ark.
Need me to say 1981, and then you get Raiders of the Lost Ark. Correct. Let us start with Brian. Brian, this movie would not stop repeating itself. Absolute garbage.
Were we thinking Groundhog Day?
That sounds like Groundhog Day. I was going to say Koyaanisqatsi, and Groundhog Day sounds a lot more likely.
10 points, Groundhog Day.
I like the Koyaanisqatsi answer a lot.
Really could be Looper or Edge of Tomorrow. There's so many other things that could also be.
Looper was my second. Yeah,
there are options. There are options. All right, Glenn, I didn't watch this movie today, but at trivia, our team lost by less than a point because we got the redacted speed wrong, so I hate this movie now.
Oh, it's got to be Back to the Future, right?
Yeah, I mean, unless it's Speed, but Speed was in the clue, so yeah, probably not.
I think Back to the Future?
Back to the Future is correct.
That's good.
All right, Kelly.
Yes.
Could play Among Us for 20 minutes and get the same experience.
Okay, so one where you're trying to guess that there's an alien amongst you.
My guess is the thing.
There's so many options here. Yeah. What were you going to say?
I was going to say Knives Out.
Oh, that's interesting. But it could also be what is a Body Snatchers movie?
Yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
This could be so many things.
Don't forget Citizen Kane.
Great. I almost wonder if we need the year.
Okay. My brain is going the thing. I think the year will clarify which of these disparate options.
Can we get the year?
All right, so 5 points off. You can get 1979 movie.
Does that help, Brian?
Crap, I think the thing came out in 1982, maybe? When was Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Oh.
Certainly, he's not Knives Out.
What even is
my
time?
Favorite of these answers would be Body Snatchers. In that case, how do y'all?
Let's go, Invasion of the
I'm
Body
okay
Snatchers.
With that, yeah,
yeah.
That is not the movie I'm looking for. Team two, anybody over there? Got a guess?
Alien.
It's Alien.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, they're on a spaceship.
I get it.
When was the thing? Oh, I shouldn't ask because it could come up later. Oh.
1981.
All right.
Oh, that I keep thinking of Alien as the movie with the cat, but it's the movie with Among Us.
Now you know.
All right, let's move to team two. Shelley, this movie too freaky. Why is there things crawling out of people's belly buttons?
Wait, what?
Why are there things?
Shelley, I'm just going to say, we just rewatched The Matrix for a commentary track, and there's things crawling out of Neo's belly button there.
Or we could get
a year if we wanted to cut it to five, or we could just take a chance.
Let's go for it. Let's go The Matrix.
The Matrix, yeah. 10 points.
Yay. Nice, whoa. Jason.
Thank you.
It is too freaky, by the way, reviewer. Too freaky.
Too freaky.
Team one.
Uh-huh.
I give you my favorite, which is kind of mid. I wish there were penguins.
Okay, so something that doesn't have penguins in it, maybe.
Oh my god!
That you would expect to have penguins.
Kind of.
I hope it's not March of the Penguins.
I wish there were more penguins.
Like, is there a Madagascar sequel that lacks penguins or something?
I was thinking Madagascar 2 as well, but okay, kind of mid. I wish there were penguins.
Is there a Batman movie that doesn't have the penguin in it? There's lots of them.
I was thinking that too, like The Dark Knight. Was there a category for this, Dan, in terms of movie type or no?
No, well-known movies, I think. Just
well-known nerdy canon movies.
Yeah, I would say you know this movie. In fact, I would 100% say you know this movie.
Okay.
Kind of mid. I wish there
needs
were penguins.
Needs more penguins, so it's like, maybe it's like an animated movie with animals in it, but...
Yeah, so I wish there were.
Okay. You might think about a place where there are penguins, or could be penguins.
There should. That's. What is the place that actually has penguins?
Antarctica.
Everybody thinks they're at the other pole, and they're not. They're at the South Pole, right?
Wait, is it the thing? If this is the thing, I'm going
to
scream.
I'm just giving it to you because I really enjoy that movie.
That was a nice clue there, Dan. Nice clue.
Yes.
We would also have accepted the birds.
It was just, I thought it was so funny. What a great review for that movie.
I wanted to be Happy Feet somehow.
Aww.
And finally, to bring it all home, Jason,
uh-oh,
I picked this one for you. It's just great. I don't know how people enjoy this. It's long. It's boring. The villains make an effing dreadful noise, and I prefer Thor: The Dark World.
Wow.
An effing dreadful noise.
The villains make an effing...
It's long.
It's long. It's boring. And the villains make an effing dreadful noise.
It's like a musical.
Oh, it's cats, right?
Lord of the Rings, the orcs.
God, could it be a Lord of the Rings film? That is a good question. Mm. It's long. It's long. Some people think they're boring, and the villains make an awful noise. So it's probably it's Elf Dark World as opposed to the orcs. Maybe
I'm gonna recommend we get a year here.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
The year was 2001.
That's Lord of the Rings, y'all.
Is that's not Two Towers, though, right? That's the original Fellowship?
No, it's the original. You're right. The orcs there really aren't that many orcs, if there are any at all, in the first one.
Well, there's those horrible things, the
Nazgûls?
The Black Riders, yeah, the Nazgûl. They shriek. They make shrieky sounds.
Yeah, let's just do it. Fellowship of the Ring.
Correct for 5 points. Yeah. Well done. Just anything where they said they prefer Thor: The Dark World, Jason. I think of you.
I mean, that person is a genius. Did John Moles write that review?
A real genius.
All right. Well, that
I
brings
see
us
what you did there, Glenn.
To the end of this game. All that's left is to find the final scores, Kat.
All right. Team two ended with 68 points. And team one, unfortunately, only had 53 points. So team two, Shelley's team, are the winners.
Woohoo!
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yay. Well done. Team, a well-played match.
Other team.
You guys can have that half point now.
Yay!
Thank you, everybody out there, for listening. As a reminder, if you would like to write in, maybe suggest some rounds or have comments or questions, please send an email to inconceivable@theincomparable.com. Or you can also find us on Mastodon. We are inconceivable@zeppelin.flights. Thank you so much to our panelists and to my scorekeeper, Kat Benish. So long, everybody. We will see you next time.